Why don't you go ahead and turn your Bibles to Romans 28. We're going to go through there at some point. And we've been dealing with the issue of integrity. And I know it looks like we've gone around the mountain to hopefully get somewhere. But I want to encourage you that every bit of this builds on the conclusion. Every bit of this is relevant to what the understanding of integrity is and the perspective of integrity that I believe God wants us to have in our life. We defined integrity early on, that the word integrity is where we get the word integer, which means whole. It's complete. And then we looked at God. He is integrity. He is whole. He is complete. He needs nothing outside of himself to be complete. He is full. He is not fractured. He is not disintegrated. He is not broken. Because of that, we're able to have confidence in his word. We're able to agree with the psalmist who says, your word is settled in heaven. It's determined. We can depend on it because God is integrity. He is whole. He is complete. So far, we've seen how integrity looks in the character of God. This morning, I want us to look and see how integrity plays out in the earth. All right? Now, bear with me just a minute. There was a time when the entire earth was an expression of integrity. Okay? There was a time where the entire earth was whole and complete within itself. There was a time when the earth and all of its inhabitants were whole. Everything created was integrated into one whole purpose and expression. It was an expression of God's wholeness. Okay? It was an expression of God's completeness. It was an expression of God's purpose, his glory. Everything about the earth expressed, revealed together. Every part of the earth, every part of creation worked in conjunction with this other part of creation for one purpose, and that was to express and reveal God's glory. So that whenever you looked at the earth, you saw the creativeness, you saw the holiness, you saw the completeness, you saw a full expression of what God was like. Because it had integrity, it was whole. When God said, it is very good, you look in Genesis, he says everything he created, created man, created Adam, created Eve, said it's not good that man be alone, he created Eve, and then he looked at all that he had done. And up until that time, when he created the light, he said it's good. When he created the firmament, he said it's good. When he created the heavens, he said it's good. When he created the animals, he said it's good. But when he got through with all of it, he looked at it and said, what? It's very good. Very good. Now, God didn't say it's very good because it gave him the warm fuzzies when he looked at it. He said it was very good. Good means that everything created, included man, was fulfilling the purpose for which it was created. Everything that was created was doing exactly what it was supposed to do. It was doing what God had in mind when he spoke it into existence, when he formed Adam into existence, when he took the rib from Adam's side and created Eve, when all of the animals were created, and he looked at all of that and he says, now it is very good. Why is it very good? Because it's all doing exactly what it was created to do, and that was to be an expression of God's glory, to be an expression of his purpose. It was an expression of God's wholeness. Something is good only in so much as it does what it's created to do. Okay? How many of you would like to have, you know, most everybody here wants a new truck, okay? How would you like to have a brand new, I was at Costco the other day, and they had a Suburban in there inside their little building. $72,000 they wanted for a Suburban. And I thought, I'd rather have a new truck. Well, they're about $70,000. I mean, how many of we'd love to have a new truck, okay? But what's the purpose of that truck? The purpose of that truck is to get from A to B. Now, if you wake up in the morning and you got this $70,000 truck sitting in your driveway and it don't start, it ain't a good truck. Doesn't matter how much money you spend in it. Doesn't matter how many accessories it's got. Doesn't matter how many bells and whistles you can get on. If it doesn't get you from point A to point B, which is the purpose of that vehicle, it is not a good vehicle. Okay? Now, if you got a, your neighbor's got a clunker and he's willing to let you borrow it, and you know if you don't get to work, you're going to get fired, all of a sudden this clunker that you've run down, man, that's a good car. That's a good vehicle. Why? Because it does what it was designed to do. And God created the universe. He created the earth. And he looked at it and said, this is very good. Because everything that I've created is doing what it was designed to do. It is expressing my wholeness. It is revealing my glory. It is showing forth my fullness of who I am. Everything that was created was whole. And it was all integrated into one purpose and one expression. And that was to express God's wholeness or his glory, which was God's purpose. Now, understand, since God is whole, a fractured creation would not be an expression of God's glory. If it was all divided, if it was cut up, if it was compartmentalized, that's not an expression of who God is. Because God is whole. He is complete. And had the earth been fractured at that point in time, God would not have looked at it and said it is very good, because it would not be fulfilling the purpose for which it was created. Now, when sin entered the picture, something cataclysmic happened in all of creation, not just in man. When Adam sinned, when Adam and Eve sinned, something devastating happened to the earth, not just to Adam and Eve, but to the earth, to the entire creation. And it no longer was an expression of God's wholeness. Romans 8:20 says this, for the creation was subjected, for the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it. Now you see that word futility? The word futility there means empty as to result. It failed to provide the result for which it was designed. Whereas the man was created to be an expression of God's glory, to be an expression of his wholeness. When he sinned, he chose to do something else, and he ceased to be that expression of God's glory. That's why in Romans he says, all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. They fall short of that purpose for which God had in mind. And that was to be an expression of his wholeness, to be an expression of his completeness, to be an expression of his purpose. But it not only affected man. Whenever Adam and Eve chose to rebel against God and chose to choose their own way, not only was their life fractured, but the entire universe was fractured. All of the earth was fractured. The whole earth became disintegrated, fractured, fragmented, compartmentalized, and broken. Now, not only does man fall short of God's glory, but all of creation has fallen short of God's glory, because it's divided, because it's segmented, because it's compartmentalized. Instead of an expression of integrity or an expression of wholeness, you have every part of creation, starting with man, seeking to establish their own purpose instead of the one for which they were created. That now being not God's glory, but self-glory. Not being an expression of God's creativity, but being an expression of my creativity. Not being God-promoting, but self-promoting. And that's the reason the lion can't lay down with the lamb. Because the lion would eat the lamb. He's got his own motive, self-preservation. And you don't see that wholeness, you don't see that completeness in the universe. I mean, mosquitoes are a result of that, I'm just sure. But to the point, sin causes man's life to be disintegrated or fractured and sets him on a quest to find wholeness in things and people who themselves are disintegrated. It's not here. There is no wholeness here. There is no completion here. Everything is fractured. Everything has their own compartment. Everything has their own motive. Everything has their own purpose. Sin did that. It just shattered the wholeness that was there. It shattered the completion of what God had done there as an expression of His glory. The only thing in the universe that is not fractured is the Father. That's it. Man's sin and the fracturing of the earth, the disintegration of that purpose and that wholeness affected everything created, but it did not affect the Father because He is eternal. He is still whole. He alone is whole. The fall did not fracture Him or change Him in any way. He is the only thing that is still whole. Now watch. That being the case, He is integral to my becoming whole. He is integral to me having integrity. Because I can't create integrity on my own. Because everything that I would draw from is fractured. If I say, and boy, this is where we mess marriage up so bad. How many times are you told, you have found the person to make you whole? Give me a break. I promise you, there isn't a woman or a man on the creation of the world that can make you whole. There is no amount of wealth that can make you whole. There is no amount of education that can make you whole. There is nothing confined in this realm that can make you whole. Well, if the only thing in this realm that is whole is God, then it seems to me that He is integral, necessary, for me to be whole. I must have Him. Integral means essential to completeness. Now see, someone's life can be wholly given to something and they still not have integrity. Some people's life is completely given, wholly given to making money. Some people's life is completely given to having money. Some people's life is completely given to spending money. Some people's life is completely given to fame or honor or acceptance or success or job approval or education. And their heart in this being given completely to this is that the end justifies the means. Whatever gives me money is okay. Whatever activity gives me pleasure, okay. Whatever activity gives me satisfaction, okay. And we're wholly given to that, but there's no integrity in our life. There's no wholeness in our life. And there's no satisfaction in our life. There's no completeness in our life because everything about us is fractured. For integrity to be present in a life, that life must have a connection, a relationship with the only one in the universe with integrity, and that is the Father. He is the only one who is whole. Now, if you remember, on the first day I began to share this, I made this statement. I said, having integrity to prevent the destruction of these institutions, being country, business, family, church, is important. If I want to have integrity in my life so that I have a whole family, if I want to have integrity in my life so that I'll be a whole contributor to our culture, to our nation, that's good. But we as children of God are called to an integrity for a much higher purpose, even than our family, even than the church, even than our business. He's called us to something is. And look with me in Ephesians chapter 1. I'll show you what that is. Ephesians chapter 1. You knew I'd end up in Ephesians. Nobody's surprised. Because here in Ephesians chapter 1, he reveals the purpose that the Father has, that he has invited us to participate in. Okay? He reveals his purpose, and in that purpose, he has invited us to work with him, to cooperate with him in seeing that purpose fulfilled. Ephesians chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Notice what he starts with. He doesn't start with a requirement. He doesn't start with a command. He doesn't start with what he wants from you. He doesn't start with what he can get from you. He starts with what he has done for you. Okay? He says he's blessed you with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. You ever feel like he just expects too much of me in this Christian life? He just expects too much of me to walk in obedience. He just expects too much of me. You know why he expects that? Because he has given that. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. And because he has given every blessing, he's looking to receive that back. He knows we don't have it within ourselves. He knows we can't create it on our own. He knows we can't work for it. He gave it to us. He has given it to us. And so often when we're talking about it, walking in obedience and walking in holiness, all we can talk about is what we got to do, what we got to do, 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 got to do. He starts with this. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. And if we don't start there, at best, we'll create self-righteousness. Look what we did. Look how well I'm performing. Look how good I'm doing. But when we start with that understanding, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. I want you to look at that word holy. The word holy has two parts to it. The word holy means separated from something and connected to something. You have to get those two. Holiness is not just separated from something. I don't know about you, but I've seen people who wear their separation like a robe. I'm separated. My hair is separated. My clothes are separated. My shoes are separated. My pants are separated. Everything about my life is separated. And they're meaner than snakes. Because holiness is not just separating from something. It's not just separating from the world. Holiness is separating from something and joining myself to something. Now, I've seen people who they weren't separated from the world, but they had all the good holy terminology. All the good holy stuff. Well, yeah, bless God, hallelujah, glory to Jesus. But their lifestyle was nothing different than what the world was. Holy means separated from something and connected or joined to something. And he said, I'm calling you to be holy. I'm calling you to be separate from what's here in the earth. Why? because God's mean and nasty and doesn't want us to have a good time. No, because God knows everything that's here is fractured. Everything here is broken. And there is nothing here that I can join to myself and it bring wholeness in my heart. He knows that. He says it's to your own detriment to try to hold on to what's here. It will not bring wholeness or holiness into your life. Holy, separated from, and consecrated to. To be holy means to be wholly separated from and consecrated to. Now he says holy and blameless. If you look at here, what he's saying, he's using different words for the concept of wholeness. All right? Holy means that I have found everything in him. I found everything in him. I found nothing here and everything in joining myself to him. Now he says that we would be holy and blameless. The word blameless means without blemish, without impurity. We measure gold by its integrity. Gold that's 18 carat means part of it is gold, but another part of it isn't. 24 carat means more of it is gold than 18 carat, but there's still part of it that's not gold. It has blemish. Whole gold means it's 100% gold. It is without blemish. He says he has called us to separate and to be joined and to be without a spot, whole, complete, and given to the Father. All right? Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will. We don't have to try to be sons of God. We are sons of God. He has made us a son of God. That's not something to be attained to. It's something to be recognized and walk in. According to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us and believed. Boy, we already spent 2 years on this chapter. And it's hard for me not to get back in there. Anyway, in verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our transgression, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. Again, he's talking about what he's done for us. In all wisdom and insight, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he proposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of times. That is, and here's the purpose for which God has called us to. He has called us to this purpose because it is his purpose. Suitable to the fullness of times. That is, the summing up of all things in Christ. Things in the heaven and things on the earth. Here is his purpose, to sum up everything that is fractured back into wholeness. But that can only be done in Christ. It can only be done under his authority. It can only be done from his perspective. Why? He's the only one whole. He's the only one that's has integrity. And as we're under him and in him, integrity becomes ours. Because that's what the Father has done. That we might participate in his purpose. What's that purpose? The summing up of all things in Christ. Things in heaven and things on the earth. Why? That they would be to the praise of his glory. There's that wholeness again. The earth that was created, man that was created at one point in time existed to the praise of the glory of God. Everything about the earth expressed and praised the glory of God. Look what God has done. It is very good. Everything's doing what it was designed to do. And then sin came and all of that was fractured. And now God's purpose is to bring everything again back into that wholeness, into that integrity under Christ, because he is the only one that is whole. It's summing up of all things in Christ together in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of time. That is the summing up of things in Christ. Integrity, yes, it's important for our family. Yes, integrity is important for our business. Yes, integrity is important for our country. But more than anything else, integrity is important because it is what God is doing in the earth. And he's invited us to participate in it. He didn't say, you go out and get integrity and then bring it in. He said, you come in, I will make you integrity. I will reveal integrity to you. You've got no integrity apart from me. You have no wholeness apart from me. But when you come to me, I make you whole. And I want you to live in that. God's purpose is to integrate everything that is fractured, everything that is disintegrated, back into one whole in Christ. And it starts with man and is consummated in a new heaven and a new earth. It's bigger than us. He's going to do the whole shebang. A whole new heaven, a whole new earth. Once again, the lion will lay down with a lamb. The sheep will lay down with the wolf, because that purpose now is instituted in Christ. Once again, one purpose, one wholeness, to be an expression of his God, to the praise of the glory of God. That's what he's about doing. It starts with man, and it's consummated in a new heaven and a new earth. Now, when he comes into our life, he comes to establish integrity. He comes to establish wholeness. When we surrender to him, when we meet him as the Lord of our life, what he comes to do is to make that life whole under Christ, to establish integrity. God is integrity, and everywhere he goes, his purpose is to establish integrity. When he comes to live in our hearts, he comes as integrity, and he comes to establish integrity. Now see, we are accustomed to living a fractured life. We're accustomed to living a compartmental life. Our life has all these compartments. Well, I have my work compartment. I have my family compartment. I have my social compartment. I have my entertainment compartment. I have my church compartment. I have all of these compartments. And because integrity doesn't exist in our heart, we go into that compartment and we find out how to be successful there according to their standard of success. And we buy into it. Why? Because we're fractured. We have no wholeness. We've not established wholeness in our heart. And understanding that wholeness affects all of these compartments and all of these realms. We are accustomed to living a fractured life, a compartmentalized life. And he seeks to establish a whole life under his authority and under his love. He knows that integrity or wholeness is the only remedy for a life that's fractured. That's it. It's not getting into the world and finding out what the world determines as success and going along with it. That's not going to produce wholeness in me. It's not even getting in a religious church or a religious system and finding out what makes me successful here and doing that. That doesn't produce wholeness. Being successful in my job, that doesn't produce wholeness. Because all of those arenas themselves are fractured. And there's nothing in that arena to bring wholeness to me. God says, I want to establish wholeness in you so that you will bring wholeness to your job, wholeness to your family, wholeness to the social life, wholeness to your friends. We've got it backwards. There's nothing there that will bring wholeness in our life. He knows that integrity or wholeness is the only remedy for a life that's fractured because of sin. It's the only means to a healthy life. It's the only means to a life that will express His wholeness. Just as a fractured earth cannot express His wholeness, neither can a fractured life express His wholeness. Now listen, when He comes into our heart, when He comes into our life, He doesn't come into our life to just be a part of our fractured life. I can't tell you how many guys out here, you know, Christians. Well, that's just business. Being interpreted to mean it's okay to compromise in business. It's okay to compromise. That's business. Christ is in the religious part. I've accepted Him. He's in my church part. He doesn't come and find a compartment. He comes to receive, surrendered to Him, all of the compartments, because He comes to bring wholeness to my life and not fracture my life. He is not just another compartment to a compartmentalized life. He comes to be whole. Now listen to me very carefully. He comes to be whole, or He doesn't come. Well, how can you say that? Because He can't be anything except what He is. He can't just be a compartment. He can't just be a little back section in our life. He can't just be our Sunday section, our Sunday compartment. And I want to tell you something. I believe we have a lot of people that have prayed the sinner's prayer that have never intended doing anything except sticking Christ into their religious compartment. And I don't believe He came. Doesn't mean when you get saved you have to know everything. But it does mean when you get saved you have to lay down all your compartments. Oh, now that's going to take some working out, trust me. That doesn't mean it's going to be fixed instantly like that. That's part of growing, is learning. But there's always in my heart remembering, you know what? I surrendered this compartment to Christ. I surrendered my family to Christ. I surrendered my work to Christ. When I met Him, I just said, Lord, here it is. You take it all. And now He works that out in our heart. He doesn't come as just another compartment. He doesn't come to be stuck in a corner somewhere. He doesn't come just to be our Sunday. We whip Him out on Sunday and use terminology to present ourselves as something we're really not. He comes to be whole. This is a picture of why integrity is not the keeping of an external list or a code. It comes from within, where the whole one resides. It has an outward expression, but it comes from within. I don't have a list. How do I live like a Christian in my business? I don't have a list. How do I live like a Christian in my family? I don't have a list. How do I live like Christian in my private life? How do I live like, there's no list. It comes from in here, because the whole one has come to live inside of me. And everything I am and everything I have is surrendered to the whole one. And His heart, His desire is to make me whole in my life, to bring all of these compartments together under what? The headship of Christ, that He might come to have first place in everything. First place in my business. First place in my family. First place in my social life. First place in my private life. First place in my church life. That He might have first place in all of those areas. That's what God's about. That's what the Father wants to do. And so He comes in our heart. And that Him coming into our heart is an invitation by Him to say, come on, I want you to be a part of this wholeness that I'm working in the universe. And I want you to be a part of it. I want you to work with me. We are co-workers together with Him as He establishes that unity in Christ. That's why He says in Ephesians to be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. He didn't say establish unity. And listen, when we try to establish unity, what we actually do in God's kingdom is create division. Because God already established unity. Unity in the kingdom is Christ. And if I want anything else to be the basis for unity, I've just created division. It's Christ. He has come to make us whole because his objective is to bring everything in the universe underneath the authority of Christ. And he says, I want you to be a part of it. That's what it looks like in the earth. All right? Now, next time I share, we're going to talk about what it looks like in a personal life. Okay? Now, that's what, well, about time, okay? But you have got to, oh man, I've been so thrilled as Lord revealed all this to me, because it's more than just da 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 da. There's a purpose behind it. There's a reason behind it. There's a reason why he's still wholeness and we're not. There's a reason by the only way wholeness can be established in me is if I have a surrendered relationship with him, because he's the only one whole. He's it. He's it. My prayer for you is if you've never come to that place in your heart when you just gave it all, just give up. Lord, I want you to take every bit of it. I want you to work it in me. I want you to show me how to establish integrity in my life in all of these areas. I encourage you to do that. Let's pray. Father, thank you that our disobedience and our rebellion and our sin didn't shatter you. You are our rock. You are our anchor. You are where we can go to find stability, wholeness, and completeness. Thank you that we didn't change that. And you didn't change because of our behavior. Father, if you didn't change because of that, you will not change because of our failures today. You will love us. You will care for us. You will extend your wholeness to us. You will not withdraw yourself from us. You will not hide from us. You will not condemn us. You will not judge us. You will not write us off. You won't even be critical of us, because you are whole, not because of our behavior. You are whole. Thank you for maintaining. Thank you for establishing that your word is established in the heaven because of your faithfulness, your integrity. And Father, show us how to live that out, how to walk in that. And we bless you for being so good to us and praise you for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.